I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is a pretty big day at St. Paul's. We have a lot going on. Today is our Christmas pageant. Our children are going to be dressing up as angels and shepherds and acting out the story of the Nativity. And later today, this evening, we are going to be having our amazing annual Lessons and Carols service, one of my favorite services of the whole year. The choir has so much beautiful music to share with us, and I'm just struck by all of the gifts of this parish, all kind of coming together on a day like today. And experiences like this in church just evoke feelings of wonder and joy, and I'm so thankful for this community and everything that we have together. So, what gem do I have to share with you from the pulpit? What scripture lesson do I have to work with? A lament psalm. Yeah. That's right. Lament. This is not exactly what I had in mind for the fourth Sunday of Advent. At this point in December, I am, probably like many of you, in the middle of preparation. Decorating my house, arranging my schedule, doing all of that shopping and cooking. And with all of it is this wonderful wash of feelings for me. Anticipation, hope, excitement, maybe a little anxiety and dread, but certainly, certainly not lament. So I have to pause. I hesitate a little this morning in wondering what is it that the psalmist has to share with us today. And then I catch up with myself a little bit. And I realize that not everybody is experiencing this season in the same way. I'm suddenly reminded of my good friend whose husband died last spring. I'm reminded of a friend of mine who just lost her battle to cancer. I'm reminded of a friend that told me he just lost his job. And most horribly, the news this week of the humanitarian crisis in Syria. I feel like I can't really watch the news very much these days, but this week, the Syrian city of Aleppo was completely ravaged. It was this horrible massacre of civilians, men and women and children. Y'all, this is horrible, happening right now. And all of these voices, the personal voices of my own people and people I don't even know in a country far away, they all kind of merge in my mind and join together, and I wake up, and I suddenly realize that I am surrounded by suffering. And a chorus of "Restore us, O God of hosts," doesn't actually seem all that out of place in Advent after all. God is calling us through today's scriptures to consider what place lament might have in our Advent preparation. And that word "us" is very important here. It's an important part of this psalm. That "us" is bigger than me and my Advent preparations, bigger than you, bigger than what we all might be feeling individually, personally, right now. This is not a me psalm. This is an us psalm. It's a communal lament. It was actually written for an entire nation. It is a chorus of pain and bewilderment to God as the result of an invasion from the northern kingdom. So the situation, the people were seeing violence that caused them to flee from their homes. And as the psalmist puts it, to drink bowls of tears. That is a powerful voice of desperation. Lament, rightly understood, is not merely a sad song. It's not simply about expressing sadness or depression. It's not, you know, emo rock that you hear on the radio that doesn't go anywhere. It's just, woe is me. Lament is way richer than that. Lament has an element of yearning to it. It's a deep longing for things to be different, a deep prayer reaching out in trust to God. Lament is filled with hope. It's a very particular language of prayer, one that we should all learn, I think, and it trusts that even in the darkest of times, God's love is still there. A glimmer of light still remains in the cries of lament. And in this psalm, the writer uses a story to illustrate this very point. And it's actually in the section that we didn't read today, in verses 8 through 14. So if you want to follow along, you can pick up your prayer book out of your pew. It's on page 703. Excuse me. And it's so interesting. I want to point out this section, what the writer does here. It's so cool. This is a parable in the middle of a psalm. It's a parable about a vine. And if you'll allow, I'll just paraphrase for you. Once upon a time, there was a vine that God planted. And it was a special vine that was given everything it needed to grow and to spread and just be incredibly lush and rich. I imagine something kind of like kudzu, you know, lush and green, right? And growing everywhere without stopping. The psalmist says it grows from the sea to the river. That sounds like kudzu to me. So this vine, this special vine, was protected and safe. That is, until God broke down the wall that protected it. And then thieves came and plucked away all of its grapes, and wild animals came and ravaged it until it was nearly destroyed. That's kind of a shocking parable. It's totally bewildering. You're left feeling, oh, what just happened? Why on earth would something so violent happen to something that God so lovingly tended? There are many real-life examples, I think, that we could all compare to the parable of the ravaged vine. Lots of us, many of us, feel as though 2016 was a pretty rough year. And so maybe you yourself feel a little bit like that ravaged vine, kind of like, what happened, God? Maybe you see this image in the life of someone that you love. But I can't help but think of Syria and its ravaged nation right now. I heard the other day on the radio, I was driving in my car, I heard a UN ambassador speaking about this crisis in Syria, and he was quoted to say, "It took 1,000 years and hundreds of generations to build Aleppo, and one generation and 4 years to destroy it." Destruction like that sounds like that vine. This once beautiful city, once supported and nourished and flourishing, and then suddenly rot to pieces. And that kind of devastation is exactly the sentiment that the psalmist is in touch with today. So he ends this story, this little parable, by wrapping it up with a plea to God in verse 14. "Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven. Behold and tend this vine, preserve what your right hand has planted." This one verse gives us gospel hope whenever we sing lament. That appeal to God, "Turn now, O God of hosts, and look down from heaven," that plea holds on to that hope that God is going to turn and look upon those who suffer. That just the act of God looking is going to be healing. And we hang on to that hope that God would never fully abandon what he has planted. We hold up the belief that death is not the end. And we do this as the church, whether it is we ourselves who are suffering, or if we are witnesses to those who are. We lift up lament so that we might continue to believe that God will see and act on behalf of those who suffer. And as we learn time and time again, Sunday after Sunday, hearing scripture lessons here, that this is what God does. God's eye always turns toward brokenness and pain. God's always gonna look and see us. In fact, God tends to look first at those who are suffering. God tends to go exactly where the hurting and the lost are. And so this puts all of our celebrations into context. It changes how we see the children's pageant. It changes how we listen to those beautiful anthems at Lessons and Carols. Lament gets us ready to witness these things with new eyes. It helps us see rightly the fragility of the nativity. All of our children, our tiny children, wearing those costumes, acting out this sacred story, making it come alive. The beauty of Mary's commitment, the sacredness of that holy birth. Lament gets us in touch with that. And when we come together here and week after week we sing, O come, Emmanuel, and Savior of the nations, come. Those words mean something very powerful when we put them in the context of praying for people who are suffering at the hands of violence right now. Lament puts us in a posture of yearning. It puts it in a place that says, make this right, O God. It makes us attentive to how God might actually already be working to heal all that is broken in the world. St. Augustine wrote that our hearts are restless until they rest in God, that we were actually made for God, and our hearts are restless until we find that total union, that total fulfillment in God. So into that restlessness, into that lament, that absence, Christ is born. And Jesus doesn't come among us as a sign that all's right and everything's gonna be just the same as it always was. Jesus comes precisely because all is not right with the world. Jesus is born because the world needs a Savior. So for today, when we ask ourselves, how can we join our voices in lament with those who suffer right now? We can pray this psalm. We can remember that in the kingdom of God, we belong to each other. And we do the work of healing oppression and donating to relief efforts and speaking up as advocates. And whatever we do, we always are pointing to the God of restoration. That's our work as faithful people, because ours is a God who loves us, who will not forsake us, who has redeemed us in Jesus Christ. Ours is a God who creates and recreates the world and recreates our lives over and over, day by day. And this means that we are not going to stay in that place of despair forever. And neither are our brothers and sisters in Syria. That's what we believe to be true as faithful followers of Jesus. And so we say the words together, restore us, O God of hosts. Show us the light of your countenance and we shall be saved. We are putting our faith in the God of restoration and wholeness. We're hanging on to the hope that even in the middle of lament, God will never abandon the good thing that he has planted. Amen.